Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, Luke chapter 14, and we'll read verse 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, and the 10th verse. When thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sat at meat with thee. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, and the 10th verse. It's really those four words, friend, go up higher. These four words have been with me for a few days, and they don't seem to leave me. And I pray that it may be a message to us each today. Well, let's look a little firstly at the circumstances. The Lord Jesus here uses a parable, and so often, you know, the dear Saviour used parables to expound the reality and blessedness of his truth to the people. And here he uses the illustration, and he says this, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. And then when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him, come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. And of course, what he is setting before them was the great need of being humble, willing to take the lowest place. And he says here, doesn't he, in the verse following our text, whosoever exhorteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And it is upon that blessed theme of the need of gracious humility. There's two occasions in the book of Proverbs where the wise man Solomon speaks these words. Before honour is humility. And you know, really, when you look in God's holy word, all those that God honoured with those divine blessings of heaven, he humbled them first. Now, the grace of God will humble a sinner. You see, by nature, we want to be something. And I think probably why this word seemed to so rest upon me during this last week is thinking of those that are seeking to be our next Prime Minister And you see, and in all these things, we see so much where man wants to exalt himself. And throughout, really, all our politicians, almost all of them, just self-promotion. And I was thinking of that, you see. I thought, well, it doesn't show much grace. Because grace humbles the sinner. Let me use an illustration from the Word of God. You take the case of Saul of Tarsus. An arrogant man in natural religion wanted to be something and above everyone else. But what did the Lord do with him? He brought him right down. So he had to fall before the Lord as a poor, humble sinner, before a holy God, willing to be nothing. And I often think of that word, you know, what he wrote to the Corinthian church when he said, though I be nothing. And if ever a man knew what it was to be brought right down to nothing before the Lord, the apostle did. And out of that state feeling so nothing, what did he say? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, the Lord will have his dear children humble before honour. Is humility. And you look how the Lord honoured that dear man. Not for anything he had done. You know, it's right that a young person is honoured when they pass the exams or degrees at universities. Right, they should receive honour. But you see, what we need is real honour from heaven. The Lord honour us, not just man honour us. And you think of this word here, how solemn and how degrading it would be to go into a wedding and just go and sit down in a high place to think we're something. And then a more honourable man or woman than us come in and we have to give place. But far better, and Jesus uses the illustration, to take the lowest room. Why? That he may say unto the friend, go up higher. Well, I want to look at that in a moment, but I want to pursue this point of humility. Because it is so vital. If you look in the case of Legion, the Mad Gadarene, I often mention him, but you know, he was an arrogant man dwelling among the tombs. And nobody could bring him down from the position he was in. Only the dear Lord Jesus. And where did he bring the man? From being a hard, rebellious character to be humbled, to sit at the feet of Jesus clothed and in his right mind. And you know, that's one of the safest places a child of God can ever be. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you look how the Lord honoured him. He was humbled. What an honour to sit at the feet of Jesus. You may say, what, such a character as this? Yes. Brought to sit at the feet of Jesus. And then he was clothed, whereas he was naked before. You see, the Lord to bring us to feel our nakedness. I don't mean literally or outwardly. He'll bring us to feel our nakedness, that we've got nothing, we need a clothing that only God can give us. The clothing of the glorious righteousness of Christ. What an honour to be clothed in that glorious righteousness. You know, we'll never get to heaven without it. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. And you know, there are two real ways the Lord, if I know anything of it at all, will humble his dear people. The first is sometimes he uses various means to humble us. He may put an affliction upon us, and it humbles us. And it doesn't, unless the Lord is in it and sanctifying it, it will not humble us, it'll harden us. You know, I've seen some of God's dear people. I remember visiting a lady that had a severe stroke. And I used to visit her a lot. She was, in many ways, a pleasure to go and see. But she had this stroke, you see. And I remember visiting her in Adam Brooks Hospital in Cambridge. And what she said to me just stunned me. She used to attend one of our chapels, and outwardly you would say a very upright and gracious lady is viewed, really. The Lord is the judge. But she said to me, "Robert, what have I done to deserve this?" And you know, it so hit me. I said to her, "Well, I trust the Lord has brought it upon you to humble you. But all the time you're in that spirit, you're not humble." She was rebellious about it all. Now, some of it may have, of course, be caused by the condition she was in. It had affected her mind. But you see, and I visited her many times after that and was supposed to take her funeral when she passed away, but I was ill and couldn't take it. But, you know, it often troubled me when I thought, if I have to take that funeral service, I couldn't get away from how rebellious she was. And the Lord took it out of my hand in the end. But you think how solemn. We come into something, if we're left, I often quote it, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And now, as I say this lovingly this morning, there's so much in my poor, hard heart that is rebellion. And I weep and mourn over it. But think of those words of the hymn writer, and may the Lord whisper it to us as he did one's own heart many years ago. "Rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. But since in love he took thee in, my promise I fulfill." And you see, the Lord knows how to lay these afflictions upon us to humble us. I hope I can say there have been a few times where he's just melted me under affliction and favoured me to feel those everlasting arms under me. And it just melts the sinner's heart. His condescending love. What does the hymn writer say? The Lord speaking, really. "I will by means like these thy stubborn temper break, soften thy heart by due degrees, and make thy spirit meek. And you see, when we're really humbled, we'll be willing to take the lowest seat, and we'll esteem each other better than ourselves to be. Oh yes. And here you see, he exhorts them in this parable to be humbled in the dust before the Lord and to take the lowest seat. Why? That he may say to the friend, go up higher, go up higher. Then you can think too of the difference between Job and his wife. You know, when that great trial came upon dear Job, it was to humble him. The Lord permitted Satan to touch his livelihood, his family, his body, and attack his soul. And what did Job say? The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But what did his wife say? She wasn't submissive. You see, grace and humility, it's a wonderful grace, is humility. It humbles the sinner and it makes them submissive. They have to fall before the sovereignty of their God. And Job did. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when Job uttered that, you know, it came out a very soft-hearted Job. Oh, he did. But what did his wife say? She wasn't soft-hearted. She was rebellious. She said, curse God and die. Oh, look at the difference between being under the grace of God and being left to old nature. So the Lord uses means, you see, to humble his dear people and to pour, as it were, the brakes on them and bring them right down. And may we be given grace to fall under his wondrous work, his hand, and be able to say with the hymn writer, our Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. But there's another side to this humility. The Lord too can humble us, not by just using means, but using his word, using the ministry. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. I remember one of the old saints in my early days in the ministry. He said to me, you know, he was a very honest, outward-going man, and he said to me, you know, once he said I came into the house of God, and he said I was so rebellious and all that I'd had to go through in the week. He said, I say it to my shame. He said, I went into the service like that, but he said, I came out like a little child, like a little lamb, humbled under the blessed word of God. And you know, he never forgot it. He said, I came out full of the blessing of the Lord, and it melted him in the dust. And that's a wonderful place, you see, before honour. If the Lord's going to honour you, poor soul, This is what the Word of God declares on so many occasions. He will humble the sinner. Oh, he will. To honour them. And you'll be able, when he does honour you, to be able to praise him that he has humbled you first and made you meet to be partakers of the blessings of heaven. So he says here, when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. Oh, to be found in this lowest room. You say, teachable, you say. Tender. Listening to what the Lord would speak. When he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Go up higher. Let us look firstly at the first word, friend. And remember, these words were not spoken by just any man. They were spoken by the Saviour himself. He's the friend of sinners. Oh yes. And he has his friends. And what did he say in the Gospel of John? We read this word really. Ye are my friends, Jesus said, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Does it exercise your heart and mine this morning, Lord, and may we be among these dear friends of thine? He's the friend of sinners. We read in the Book of Proverbs some beautiful things concerning friends, don't we? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's a wonderful thing to have good friends, and we need to praise the Lord for them. But there is a friend, you see, that sticketh closer than a brother. And that friend is the dear Lord Jesus himself. He sticketh closer than a brother. Oh yeah. And he knew what it was to have those friends in his dear disciples and in those dear godly women, you know, that were with him in his sufferings, in his agonies. But you know, there was a very searching time. I often think about it, you know, at when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the intensity of his agonies, in suffering for his dear bride, his church, his dear children, we read, don't we, they all forsook him and fled. Oh, you see, that the intensity of what he was passing through, they didn't feel they could endure it. But you know, deep in their hearts, they were friends of the beloved Saviour. that he was their chief friend. He was. He sticketh closer than a brother. So we have this beautiful word, friend. Oh, really, the Lord is claiming his dear children here. You know, there are various words in the Word of God where he claims his dear children. You know, I believe if we're rightly exercised in the vital things of God, we'll be so concerned that he would come and claim us as his. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. And you know, there were times where the Lord spoke to his dear children by personally by name. Oh, he did. Well, you think of Lazarus. If ever there was a household like Lazarus and Martha and Mary, they were true friends of the Saviour. The Lord honoured them. Oh, he did. And blessed them. And what did he say at the grave of Lazarus? You think of the wonderful union Christ had with Lazarus. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. Why, he lost his friend, didn't he? Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in Scripture. Jesus wept. And of course, oh, I just dropped this as we pass on, but there'll be times where you'll weep. If you've got a real religion, you'll weep over your sin, you'll weep over your hardness, you'll weep over the times the Lord withdraws from you, and you'll weep when he hides his face. Jesus wept. I often think, you know, as we stand at a grave, there's no harm in weeping. Jesus wept, who was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he wept. But what I was going to say was this, speaking of claiming his dear children, what did he say to Lazarus as he lay in that tomb, been dead 4 days? Lazarus, come forth. He called him by name. Oh, he did. And what a mercy it is when the Lord comes and he speaks to us, calls us by name. It's like a dear mother will want her child to do something and they call them by name that they know it's them that have got to do it. Well, think of it here, friend. Oh, may there be one this morning, or my poor heart, the Lord whispers this to, friend. Go up higher. And then, of course, there are other occasions where he speaks, son or daughter, like the dear woman with the issue of blood. Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace. He claims them, friend, and may whisper that to some poor sinner this morning, friend. You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of the Saviour. Let's be very clear on it. Many say, oh, but I've got the Lord as our friend, and yet they live as the world, and if they live as the world, they die as the world. Friend. I can't express in words what that means to me, but it is a precious word, you know, friend. Whispered by the Saviour. And oh, if he whispers that to you, poor soul. Think of Jacob, Thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. The Lord changed his name to Israel. That was the new man of grace in him, you see. Oh, it was. And there's just one thing, and then I must hasten, but you think of that beautiful word of promise the Lord spoke in Isaiah 43. I've often named it, but it's a very precious word, you know, to a poor, needy sinner. I remember the late Mr. Woodcraft, the Lord's dear servant. He said to me, he said, you know, the Lord delivered him in his little cottage in his early days at Morden in Bedfordshire. And so I was sitting in the lounge, he said, and the Lord spoke from heaven these words. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. And then listen, for I have redeemed thee, I've called thee by thy name, and then listen, thou art mine. And the dear man said, I shall never forget him telling me, he said, you know, I put my arms out to embrace the Saviour. He said, he claimed me as his, and I wanted to claim him as mine. And that's just how it'll be, you see. And what a mercy when he grants it. So we have here, friend, feeling so unworthy, poor, helpless, without the Lord you can do nothing. Come up higher. Well, let's look at it in just a few ways, just briefly, I must leave it. First, come up higher to receive the blessing of pardon. You see, if the Lord grants you pardon within, your very soul will leap for joy. Oh, it will. Come up higher. He lifts you out of the sorrow you've got of sin, weighing you down, the distress within. Come up higher. And lifts you above it all, so all the sins that have troubled you are all gone. Come up higher. And he may favour you for a season like that. The Lord's a sovereign. It may be a few hours. It may be a few days. It may be a few years. Come up higher. Then there are those low places you come into, isn't it? In trial, in trouble, in bereavement, in sorrow. Come up higher. He's lifting you up, you see. What did the psalmist say? Lift thou me up and I shall praise thee. Are there those this morning that want the Lord to lift you up? Well, what will lift you up if he whispers these words in your soul, friend? Come up higher. Come up higher. Come and have sweet communion and fellowship with me. The Lord communion with you. It's a blessed place. Come up higher. And then this is a word too, for those that maybe graciously exercise concerning following their master. And you may say, well, when shall I venture? You feel full of the blessing of the Lord. Wonderful place, blessing of heaven upon you. And he says to you, friend, come up higher. Come sit at table with your Lord and eat celestial food. It's a good word, isn't it? Come up higher. And only the Lord could speak it. It dropped from the lips of the Saviour, you see. And if it drops from the lips of the Saviour into your poor heart, it'll be clothed with power. It'll be clothed with unction. It'll be clothed with blessed savour. It's full of Christ. Come up higher. But then, this is a word too that may be spoken concerning those to bear office in the Church of God. You say, well, I'm willing to be the meanest, I'm the poorest. Friend, come up higher. You ought to take the yoke, you see, upon you, what God has laid upon you. There may be the yoke of the diaconate, there may be the yoke of the ministry. Come up higher. You didn't bring yourself into it, did you? What did the Apostle Paul say concerning the ministry? I shall never forget when I received the first invitation in 1966 to go and preach at East Peckham. And I went to the house of God and I said, Lord, what shall I do? Shall I go or shall I stay? And the Lord's servant preached from these words, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? I knew then what I got to do. I felt as I went in that chapel, less than the least, and you can't get much lower than that, poor soul. Is this grace given? It was just as though the Lord said, now come up high. You got to declare the whole counsel of God. But then finally, friend, come up higher. The day will come with each of the Lord's dear children when they have to leave this earth. This is not their home. It's the home of the world. When they die, they go. When the world die, they're leaving home. With the child of God, when they die, they're going home. This is not their home. Their home is in heaven. And the Lord will say to them, come up higher. And it'll raise them from this earth to joys beyond the skies. Amen.